Our hallway should provide a calm transition from the outside in. But more often than not, you open the door to be greeted by little piles of clutter everywhere. In today's podcast, we're going to talk about the 10 things to declutter from your hallway that are going to turn that chaos into calm.
You're listening to the Declutter Hub podcast, bringing you tried and tested, no-nonsense tips and advice from the leading experts in decluttering and organising your home. Now here are your hosts, Ingrid Jansen and Leslie Spellman.
Hello and welcome, listeners. I'm Ingrid.
And I'm Leslie. We're delighted you're here to join us as part of your decluttering journey. So whether you're brand new today or have been listening to us for ages, we want to say thank you so much for being here. It means so much to us that you're here to listen to and support us while we talk all things decluttering and organizing.
We'd love to help more people with their quest for a clutter-free home. And our podcast is a fantastic way for people to be inspired to take action. We have a favor to ask. If you like what you hear, be sure to hit the follow or subscribe button on your podcast player, share us with your friends, or share your thoughts on the podcast by leaving a review. Leslie, today we are going to talk about 10 things to declutter from your hallway. And our listeners might go, huh? 10 things to declutter from your hallway? Why are you talking about that? But first of all, we love a 10 things podcast. And secondly, there is lots of clutter to be found in hallways, right?
I know, hallways are like different things. It's kind of like entryways. You know, for some people, it might be not much more than a coat hook and a mat. Do you know what I mean? Or a tiny little vestibule at the front of your kind of house. And other people are lucky enough to have like sweeping staircases with lots of cupboards and, you know, places to sit, put your shoes on and a coat hook. So different people have got look at Ingrid's like, oh.
I know, I'm like dreaming. I've got this tiny vestibule porch with like a coat rack crammed to the rafters with stuff.
But the important thing is that when we open our door, when we come in from a busy day or from errands that we've been running or whatever time it is, it needs to feel like we're coming home to some kind of sanctuary, right? Yeah. And if the first thing that you see is little piles here and little piles there, and your heart sinks already before you've even got into the body of the home, where you're going to see even more chores that you need to do and even more work that you need to do. So we owe it to ourselves to try and make that transition as nice and as calm as possible. Yeah. And that's why we don't need lots of little bits of random clutter dotted around. Now, of course, you need to go and declutter your hallway properly. But today's 10 things are some typical things that we see that just hang around, right, Ingrid?
Yes. And how brilliant is number one when we were preparing this list? Because we don't kind of come up with this stuff on the top of our heads. We prepare our podcasts.
We do come up with stuff off the top of our heads. that's the preparation, right?
I know. Exactly. And you came up with one and I thought, that's going to be our number one. And it is. The number one of this podcast is umbrella covers. Not even broken umbrellas, Leslie, but umbrella covers. What is this all about? We find them.
We do. And they're quite often separated from their little partner. So what we're talking about, if anybody's like, what are you even talking about? So if you've got like a foldable umbrella where it kind of collapses in and it's kind of small enough to fit in your bag, they always come with a cover, which is designed for if you're out and about and you want to, it's been raining, you use your umbrella, you have to fold it flat because you're in a restaurant or wherever you are, and you then want to not have the rain go into your bag or the wet go into your bag. That's the idea behind it. So you're kind of putting it in there. But more often than not, nobody uses those covers, like no one uses them, because when you come home, you want to put your umbrella to dry. So you kind of typically leave it out on your porch or in your hall or whatever, or at least a little bit open so that the rain sort of drops off it and it dries, doesn't get moldy. And then you don't do that when you're out. Well, I mean, I've never done it. But what then happens is that the covers of the umbrellas are missing their partners.
Yes.
So what do we do with that? What do we do with that? Do we keep them? Do we let them go? What do we do, Ingrid?
Listen, the whole idea of an umbrella cover is like brilliant. But I think after decluttering for over a decade with people in their houses, I don't think I've actually ever seen a cover around an umbrella. They're always like loose somewhere in a basket on the bottom of something. You're like, oh, there's the five umbrella covers of umbrellas that people don't even own anymore, right? Because it's a faff to try and squeeze an umbrella into a cover. I mean, even trying to get the little rope around it to kind of bunch it all back up together is a little faff because the umbrellas seem to jump open. I mean, it's like crazy. But I mean, of course, we are talking about umbrellas because we're in England and it rains a lot here.
Yeah, if you look at like in Arizona, you're like, I don't even have an umbrella, never mind an umbrella cover. It must rain in Arizona, right? Is it raining in Arizona?
I hope so. Right? Probably not
randomly
a lot.
Said Arizona. There are many other places that rain around the world. But anyway, if you're in Arizona, let us know whether it rains.
I mean, I'm looking outside now, Leslie. It's pouring it down here. So this is very valid topic. But yes, the covers lose their partners. And you know what? If you are a person who never, ever puts the cover back, why keep the cover? Just don't, you know, it's random clutter.
Yeah, I suppose you're just holding out for it's like it's almost aspirational, right, Ingrid? You think that you ought to keep the cover. You think that you should put it into the cover, but you don't. And yeah. So, you know, it's up to you whether or not you feel like you want to let go of that partner or not. But what we're talking about quite a lot is that the umbrellas break before you realize that the covers are gone. Does that make sense? No. So the umbrellas break and you've still got the cover years after the umbrella is long gone is what we're saying. Yeah. So you can decide whether or not you choose to let go of umbrella covers across the board because you may never, ever use them. Therefore, they are clutter. Or whether or not you still feel that you want to keep the umbrella intact with its cover and just let the ones go where the umbrella is long gone. Because those umbrellas that fit into your bag, they don't really last that long, do they? Because by the nature, there's a throughput of umbrellas, right?
Leslie,
we're going to talk about umbrellas all day. Right?
One gust of wind and poof, your umbrella is ruined, right? Yeah. A bit of a freak storm of a gust of wind and boom, it's gone double and it's out and the whole thing is bent.
And you've got that like flappy bit at the side where the kind of frame of it is broken. But you're still holding on for it to, exactly. So yeah, maybe it's just a British problem, but I'm sure it must rain elsewhere in the world. But we are very protective of our umbrellas because we use them all the time. So number one is umbrella covers and of course broken umbrellas go along with that as well.
Yeah. Let's go to number two. This is also one I think that can be quite interesting because it is keys that you find in hallways, kind of in these little pots. People have like little pots, right? With coins and other, but there's keys lurking in there that nobody knows what they're for, what they open or close. Are they from a property that you once owned, from a house you once rented, from all of that property that you accidentally took home? There's keys. And they're lurking in there and there's no label on them, no nothing to identify them. It looks familiar, but who knows? Yep.
I know, and I bet there's people thinking, do you know what, Ingrid and Leslie? Honestly, I've got a bigger fish to fry than a key in my hallway. Do you know what I mean? So in terms of something that's going to make a huge impact on my home, a key is not that. I've got literal piles of boxes in a room of doom that I need to worry about before my keys. Because a key project, which is basically what you need to do if you want to identify these keys, is a big job. Because what we're doing is we're saying you need to go through all the keys in your property, gather them all together, look at what you've got, see if you can identify where they belong. And you still feel nervous, even though you've like exhausted all options of where they might be. You're still like, but I know it's going to be for something that I've got somewhere. So you keep hold of them.
Yeah.
But I think, so know what you're going into when you do a key project, but the benefit of it, yes, you don't get a spatial benefit of keys. Of course you don't. But what you get is a clearly identified key, cupboard, drawer, hook, whatever that is, where you absolutely know exactly what you've got. And of course you can return things because a lot of these keys are for other people's houses. They're like, oh, will you just look after my cat while I'm away? And here it is and all that kind of stuff. And so sometimes they're from other people's houses, right?
Yeah. A key project, like you said, Leslie, is not to be underestimated. This is not something you can do 10 minutes before you run out of the door to go somewhere or meet someone. This needs to be, you know, carefully considered. if you know you've got keys in different places besides the hallway, you need to kind of get them all together, make a place. And actually, I actually, with one of my clients, did a whole key thing around her house. And we took all these random keys and just went through all the different doors and all the different things and kind of went, well, does this look familiar? And then it was like, when we found one that fit, well, we found one that fit. It's so exciting. But it's not something that can be done on a quick turnaround. You need to take your time for this.
Exactly. So yeah, number two is keys. So umbrella covers and keys so far. So what's our number three, Ingrid? This is one. These are the kind of things that Ingrid likes. Practical things.
Yes, it is gloves that have lost their partner. Of course, there are lots of places where, you know, gloves might not be, you know, Arizona. They might not have gloves, Leslie, but loads of places in the world, exactly here in the UK and also in the Netherlands, loads of gloves around. But you lose them. They fall out of your pocket. You leave them somewhere. For some reason, one drops on the floor outside and it's gone forever. But we cling on hoping to find that other glove. It's a bit like socks that we think will return at some point, right?
Yeah, exactly. So are you a glove person?
Yes.
How often do you wear gloves then? Like what sort of temperature does it need to be? So you do wear gloves all the time?
All the time. Like not in the summer, obviously, but like when it's winter. You're in the house, yeah. I'm like typing away here with my gloves on. No, but I mean, when I go outside and it's like anything below 4 or 5 degrees, I would say I would wear gloves.
Would you? And what kind of gloves do you wear? I mean, I know this is not relevant to the podcast, but I'm just interested. I don't think I've ever seen you with a glove, you see.
Oh, no, I've got these lovely kind of, they've got like this soft stuff on the inside and a kind of wood on the outside. They're light, they're nice and comfy. I nearly once lost them when I left them in the train when I went up to London. And I actually realized when I was on the platform, I had left them in the train. I actually asked I looked at the conductor and went, I left my gloves. And he went, you got time. So I ran back in the train to grab my gloves. And I was like, best day ever. Because they're like my favorite gloves. I would be absolutely seriously devastated if I lose them.
See, I'm not a glove person. I can probably count on one hand the amount of times I've worn gloves this year. Yeah.
Oh.
Which is interesting, right?
Why not? But you live even more north than I do. So am I just a wimp? Or what's the situation?
No, I feel like it's a habit thing. I mean, of course, if it gets freezing, I put a pair of gloves on. But I think it'd have to be below zero for me to put a pair of gloves on. But then, you know, like the coat that I've got has got one of those, you know, those things where it kind of goes over your hand. And so it's like a longer, like, cuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I put my hands in my pockets, I think. Do you know what I mean?
I see.
Anyway. Yeah. We digress. Just wanted to know, just out of interest. It's all about learning about each other, isn't it, Ingrid? About gloves that have lost their partner. Yeah. So same principle as keys. We need to do a little bit of a project. And a lot of times, and the perfect place to keep gloves, hats, scarves is in the hallway if you have space for those. It's not just gloves that have lost their partners. It's hats that are too small that you don't wear. It's gloves that you don't, you know, Ingrid was talking about her favorite pair of gloves with them. She will always choose those gloves over other gloves. And that's the thing. So you need to look at which are your favorites and which ones are you choosing. So which ones are past their best or have you moved on to something different?
Yeah.
If you've got children at home, honestly, there will be gloves, hats and scarves from when they were like 4 or 5 years old, because all of a sudden you kind of grab them out in your hallway like, wow, literally they're like 11 now and they've still got a little tiny little things on the elastics through the coats. And so you really need to look at things like that and make sure that you have kept up with the passage of time, as well as obvious things like gloves that have lost their partner.
Definitely. Let's go on to number four, Leslie, because we are just digressing constantly, which we always do in the podcast and which we kind of love, but with the 10 Things podcast, it's not very helpful, is it? Because we got a lot to talk about. Number four, takeaway menus and flyers that kind of come through your post box from like local tradesmen and people who want to clean your gutters or mow your lawn or paint your house, or real estate people who want to buy your house because it's apparently the right time at the moment to sell your house and all these things. But they kind of become a bit of a pile, don't they?
They do, yeah. So I want to take a step back from this. And again, it's all about everything that we talk about in any teaching that we do. It's all about taking a step back from what you're doing and the habits that you've got and going, what do I actually do with that information? So our natural response to things like that is like, oh, do you know what? I think I will need the gutter cleaning next spring or whatever. Or when do you do your gutters? I don't know. When do you do your gutters? No, yeah, like after the autumn, right? In the winter, yeah. You do gutters. And so I'm going to keep hold of that. Or do you know what I do? There's a new pizza place in town. You know, I might order that pizza as opposed to the pizza place that we've been ordering from for the past 15 years. And so we like the idea of what that represents sometimes, but we need to look back and go, but are we just going to, it's almost like a cold caller. So a leaflet through a door is almost like somebody who knows nothing about you that's scattering the net wide and sending a leaflet to every single house in your area. So it's not targeted. And so you need to think about, would you trust that person? Would you, you know, are you going to take a recommendation from a flyer that comes through your door? Or would you go online, ask for reviews, recommendations, go on to Trust a Trader, all of those kind of things? You know, think about what your habits are in terms of looking for a pizzeria, or be a gutter cleaning person. And if you're never going to respond in the right way to something like that, don't keep the leaflet. You also need to make sure that you've got a process in place for your junk mail, which is what this effectively, doesn't have to be junk mail, but most of it typically is. What are you doing? You need to grab that from behind the door, wherever your post comes in, and have a quick and easy way to take that over your recycling bins and just get rid of it straight away.
Yeah.
For Ingrid and I, that is habit. We grab the post straight in to the kitchen, to the recycling bin. Don't need, gone. Don't need to see it again. Don't even look at what it is most of the time. It's just gone. So there's two things in there. Think about your behaviours. Think about what you would do with that leaflet if you were to use it. And also have a process for dealing with junk mail. Of course, there are going to be some things in there sometimes that you think, oh, that's quite interesting, I might do something. But then that needs to go somewhere where you're proactively going to see it and use it. And in a hallway drawer, that's not the place.
That's exactly, Leslie. I think what people do, they grab it from the post and they put it down. And what we have in our system, we don't put it down because we know because then it's another job for later. And that's how you get piles of stuff building on top of each other with junk mail or leaflets and things. While if you in that moment immediately pick it up and indeed walk through your recycling bins or in your kitchen where you've got a recycling system in place and immediately tackle that, that's another thing off the list that you don't have to come back to. And I think that's what it's all about. Creating those little habits that can really help you long term turn that clutter corner.
Yes.
Right, Leslie, let's go to number five. We see also in the hallway lots of stuff, sometimes in bags, sometimes not, of items that need to be returned to other people. Now, it can be a book that you borrowed from a friend. It can be something that you need to return to the library. It can be something you want to return to a shop. It can be crockery from a party that you had at your house or a dinner and your friend made a casserole and she decided to, it wasn't washed up that night. So the next day you think, oh yeah, that needs to be returned to my friend. And it kind of goes into the hallway. And sometimes it just stays there and it kind of comes this, like, again, little pile of stuff that needs to go somewhere else.
And there's a behavior again that sits behind that, which is what we call visible reminders. And so what you're trying to do is you're trying to create a reminder of to-dos. And that's fine if that works for you. But what often happens with these visible reminders that we pop in the hallway on the hallway table to remind us as we're exiting the house, which is what it's there for, is that it grows and grows and grows and we don't see it anymore. And so we need to be mindful that sometimes these visible reminders are not happening and perhaps we need to do it in a slightly different way. Yeah. It can be also, you know, letters that you need to return to school, all of these kind of things. So think about what you've got in your hallway and have you got this kind of collection of things that are waiting for something to be done with them? And is that process actually working for you? Because more often than not, it needs something more than just plonking it on the hallway table as a reminder. But that's probably the most stressful time of our day when we're trying to exit the house. And the last thing that we're thinking about is, what have we got to do today? All those kind of things. So just think about that process and whether that's actually happening. So visual reminders, we've got them all the time in hallways, particularly people who feel like they're a little bit more chaotic or disorganized.
Yeah.
But is that actually working for you? Is putting that reminder there working for you?
Yeah, exactly. So Leslie, before we go to a break, can we do a little tally? What of these things have you got? Come clean now for me. I'm having a look.
I think that I could do a little bit. The bottom line is I don't really know actually the answer to that question.
Mm-hmm.
But I am going to look this weekend and see, because these things, you know, it's not something you've kept forever, is it? It's just you need to constantly review, right? You need to constantly review keys. You need to constantly review like umbrellas and stuff. But I've got them all in sort of separate areas. And so I'm lucky enough to have like a little out sort of storage area where I've got my umbrellas in a little box in there. Are there any umbrella covers in there? Possibly. Do you know what I mean? Even though I'd never ever use them. So maybe they, now that we found this wonderful idea, maybe I need to practice what I preach. Definitely no things that got to be returned to other people or the shop. Absolutely not. Definitely no takeaway menus and flyers. They're long gone. I could definitely do with having a look at the gloves, hats and scarves and see whether there's any throughput there. Definitely could have a review of the keys and the umbrellas. So I'm not going to admit it. I don't know. I don't think it's problematic. I think it's more, it's time for a review. So that's what about you?
I think I'm good. I'm feeling smug.
I'm not sure. Yeah. Are you saying you've got no... I mean, I think they're under control, but I couldn't say 100%. Can you say 100% that you've not got these things?
Not in my hallway, no. There's no... I don't have umbrella covers because I don't like small umbrellas. So I don't have those covers either.
What do you mean
I
only you like... don't like small umbrellas?
I only have a large umbrella.
What do you do when you go out? I just leave it behind me. Like if I had that, I would just completely forget about it. I mean, I leave small umbrellas.
You never bring gloves. I hardly ever bring umbrellas. So umbrellas is out.
What do you do when it's raining? Just get wet.
Put a hood on for my coat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, no, I'm not an umbrella person. Gloves. No, I did that already before the winter. So
okay, fair enough.
I do that twice per year. Takeaway menus and flyers. Well, as you know, we hardly have takeaways, so the flyers immediately disappear into the recycling bin. Don't have anything to return at the moment, and keys that no longer work for houses you no longer live in. No, I don't think so. I think I've got the keys. I think I'm pretty, but they're not in the hallway. There might be a couple of keys I need to check, but they're not in the hallway. So I think that's what we're talking about, right?
Fair enough.
So, right. Let's come back soon for number 6 to 10. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the 10 things to declutter from your hallway. We've done 5. We are in pretty good shape here, but how are you doing, listeners?
I think the list that we did before the breaking grid is it just shows you that this is like clutter gatherers. Do you know what I mean? They're like little tiny little things that are clutter that we just overlook and ignore. So what we're saying is, while you're going through this decluttering process, don't overlook the detail. Do you know what I mean? The devil is in the detail almost. And you feel so accomplished when you know that everything in your hall belongs there. And that's what's going to add to this calm feeling as we transition from the outside in, which is what, you know, in some ways, it's one of the most important rooms in the house, you know, to make sure that we can go and breathe as soon as we walk in. That's what this is all designed for. Mm-hmm. So let's go for number, talking about transitioning from the outside in, let's go for number 6, Ingrid.
Yes, it is bags of stuff you have used on the day out, and then you came home after a nice day, maybe at the park or the beach or uptown or whatever, and you've got a bag of stuff and you think, let me just put it here in my little hallway and I'll look at it later. So these might include umbrellas, but they normally might include snacks or water bottles, things with tissues, tissue packets, just random bits.
I mean, the thing is with these quite often, so if you've got like a sort of standard scenario where you've got like coat hooks that you get coats, what happens is that when we bring a bag back, we feel like we want to be tidy, so we put it on the coat rack, right? And often they start to become buried underneath coats, because then as people put coats, and then you can't see the bags because they're underneath the coats. And so years later, you find random bags of stuff, and they can be book bags from kids' schools. They can be handbags. So, you know, I make a conscious effort every weekend because I will use different handbags. I don't have one handbag that I use all the time because my handbags are always quite empty, to be honest. But when I go out on a weekend, I might choose a different handbag and I'll come back. I don't want to throw it on the floor. So I'll hook it over my kind of hallway kind of coat. I've got like a coat stand. And then they get buried underneath the coats in the same way. So every weekend when I do my weekend reset, that is when I take the handbags that I've got back to where I keep the handbags. So the next time I want to choose a handbag, I can see what I've got upstairs. Do you know what I mean? And I will then empty out the things that I've taken out with me. So I might take a perfume, I might take a lipstick, I might take an umbrella, I might take, you know, all of those things that I would take out of me. I take them back out of the bag so that I then have got all my lipsticks together and all my perfumes together. Because you don't want these things buried in a bag, because then you find them 2 years later, the next time you use the handbag, and then you're like, oh, that lipstick's gone off now, I can't use that anymore. Do you know what I mean? And so it's things like that. So it's making sure that you've got this throughput of checking the insides of bags and rehoming the bags back to where they belong.
Yeah, very true. I see it a lot with children's backpacks of things that they've used for sports or an after school club, or indeed when you've gone to the library with the kids, you know, they kind of, you come in and you're like, kids, hang up your stuffs, and everything gets, if you can, gets hung up or dropped somewhere near the coat stand, and then other stuff gets buried on it. And it's like, and that's when you get panicky, right? When you have to leave the house the next day or the next week to go to that same activity, where's the bag gone? And it's somewhere in the pile. So I think it's a really good one. It's really important to kind of really look through that on a weekly reset. Where's the bag? Is the stuff still in it? You know, what do we need? Do we need to take stuff out? Do we need to repack it and all of those things? Because you just don't want to find a bag with a lunchbox with moldy old bread from 3 weeks ago, which is no fun, isn't it?
But, you know, it's all of these things. A lot of these things that we're talking about, Ingrid, are very much about resets. Hallways are all about resets, daily resets, weekly resets, and just taking the time. When you're at your most tired or stressed out, to be fair, to actually go, I'm just going to make sure everything is back where it should be. So you need to do the decluttering project to make sure you find a home for everything in your hallway, make sure it's all ready to go, because we're doing a lot of things there. But then it's all about these resets, constantly looking and reviewing and taking things out of bags and putting things away and making sure the keys are in order and making sure that you've got the junk mail and you've taken that into the kitchen. All those kind of things are very important. So with hallways, it's really important to think about resets. That's the thing that's going to keep the clutter at bay.
Yeah. Let's go on to number 7, Leslie. Screen wash for cars.
Or yes. De-icer.
Or de-icer. Yes. A lot. We find them a lot in hallways. But the thing is, how often do you actually refill your screen wash? A couple of times per year. So why is that gallon? They're never like small little bottles, right? They're always this huge kind of 5 liter kind of chunky bottles that are heavy. So we kind of go, oh, let's refill the car and we'll just plonk it quickly inside. And then it just stays there for months on end until we have to kind of top it up again, because it's just convenient, but it's messy.
It's messy. Yeah. And there are so many different scenarios of house, right? There are some people who live in flats, haven't got a garage, haven't got, do you know what I mean? So so many different ways. And so sometimes we've got no choice. We kind of need to keep in these kind of places. I mean, you know, screen wash is one, as Ingrid said, just it gravitates back towards a kind of hallway or entryway to your house. De-icer is a good one. So why do we keep de-icer? So for me, de-icer really should be inside a car, but depending on where you are, and we talk about Arizona, you know, if we're talking about, you know, the depths of Canada when it's like minus 20 or whatever, you might not be able to open your car to get the de-icer out to spray it on the windscreen, even if you should be using de-icer, which I'm sure you're probably not really supposed to anymore, because I'm sure it's full of chemicals. So I don't even know about that. But anyway, so I think we keep it inside because we feel that we need to put it inside because we can't get into the car because the car might be frozen up. And that's where these kind of habits, but do we have an alternative? Or, you know, if we don't have an alternative, could we do something that looks intentional? So put it into a box where it looks intentional in your hall, you know, rather than it be a random thing. That's what's important. There are so many things in our hallway that just if you containerize them, put things into a small drawer, You've got to be really careful with these dishes, right? Because they become real clutter gatherers. You know, once you throw your keys in, throw your coins in, throw your things in, throw your lip seal in, throw your tissues in. You know, we don't want that sort of scenario. But there are certain things where just by containerizing them into a hallway or putting them into a box or a basket or on a shelf or whatever, it just looks that little bit more intentional. So just think about that and think about whether actually, have you got an alternative place to put the stuff that's related to your car?
Yeah, because I think the thing is, Leslie, especially with screen wash, because the bottles are so big, you don't want to put them in your car either because they take up a lot of space. So, and you don't want to drive around with them because they're heavy. So there's things to really consider, like what's going to work for me. And if you're somebody who's like, actually, I have a car, I'm very, you know, I take good care of it, I'm very proud of it. Maybe you are the person who goes, okay, once, I don't know, a month or once a quarter, I'm going to make sure the tire pressure is fine and my screen wash is topped up and my oil is all right. I don't know. But maybe you can go, actually, then I'm going to take the screen wash out of the garage or out of the shed. I'm going to do it. And I'm not going to have it linger year round in my tiny porchway because that's what happens.
I bet Ingrid's got a reminder on her phone to do.
No, I just
biannual maintenance on car. I mean, I just know that you will have your husband will do that for sure. But
I know. I'm like, Jan, the screen wash is empty. Please top it up. That's normally my go-to. Although I know how to do it.
I can't remember the last time I put a screen wash in the car. I know. Because I think they do that when they, I mean, I was the car serviced. I think they do that when they service it. And I think I've got quite a big car and I think it's got quite a big screen wash thing in it. You know what
anyway,
I mean? So I definitely don't have any screen wash or de-icer in my hallway.
No. Well, we haven't had any cold weather at all here in the UK this winter. So
it's cold weather. 2 weeks ago, it was like -5. What are you...
I didn't need any de-icer here.
I don't know. But well, it was cold enough here. That's all I'm saying. My boiler went on that day. Not ideal.
Yeah, true. Anyway, number 8. I know we talked about junk mail and kind of takeaway menus, Leslie, but this is what we see a lot as well. Mail that's actually not even opened, like proper mail, not like junk mail or takeaway menus or leaflets, but proper mail, unopened on the hallway table, and even Amazon or packages from companies that haven't even been opened. Mountains of them.
if we're getting to a stage, there's two things really wrapped up in this. You know, we need to action the things that are coming in. It's really important to keep on top of that. We need to keep on top of mail, even if it's only to put it in the place where we're going to deal with it on a kind of weekly basis. I mean, sometimes you can get away with a couple of weeks nowadays because most things are online, but we need to put it somewhere where it's going to at some point be actioned. If we're getting to a stage with things like Amazon parcels or any other parcels where we're not opening them as soon as they come into the house and excited by that thing arriving, then we need to really review those shopping habits as well and think, do we even know what's coming? You know, if you're like, oh, I don't even know what that is, really think, you know, it's not our job to tell you about what you should shop, how to shop, what to buy, but just it's something to question yourself if you've got things that are piled up and 3 or 4 Amazon parcels that you're not quite sure where they are. So these things should be actioned straight away. So you can return them within the appropriate time scale so that doesn't then become clutter. But we see it all the time in houses, Ingrid, where there's parcels coming in and our clients don't even know what's going to be in those parcels, which is a bit of a red flag, right?
In terms of
acquisition.
Yeah, I think, and you know what, I think it sounds so easy. Just open a parcel, but I think there's, you know, you need to have some sort of scissors or something nearby to open a parcel. Where's the empty box going to go? Do you want to use an ID roller to wipe out the address? All of these things that can be a barrier for you to kind of go, I need to open this parcel. And as soon as there's a couple there, it suddenly feels like a job for some reason. You know, it's no longer like, oh, there's a parcel arrived. If these things start to stack up, it feels like a job. And it's like, oh my gosh, I need to have time to do all of this. And I think that's what makes it then suddenly hard work. Well, when you do this daily, It's so much easier. Okay, Leslie, number 9, shopping bags. So bags that we take when we go grocery shopping. We have something called bags for life here in the UK. And these are kind of sturdy shopping bags that we can use time after time after time. But what happens? They sometimes live somewhere in the house. They sometimes live in the car. But more than often than not, they end up in the hallway with sometimes even some shopping that you completely forgot that you gotten. So it, because it's like in the bottom of one of those big bags, or there's like a bag within a bag within a bag ready to take to the next thing. But nobody knows when that is.
But yeah, if we've got lots of bags hanging around in our hallway, first things first, we need to get our bag situation under control. We need to take a long, hard look at the bags that we've got, whether they're tote bags, jute bags, heavy duty bags, backpacks, shopping bags, little plastic bags, paper bags, all of those things. And we need to go, how many bags do we realistically need? Because we see hundreds of them everywhere, because you just, and particularly if they're bags for life. So the idea behind a bags for life in the UK is if it ever degrades, which they kind of typically don't, that the shop will actually replace that. And that's why it's called a bag for life. And so, but people have so many, because of course, what we do is we go shopping. We should take our bags. And sometimes we're like, oh, forgot my bags. And then you've got to buy new bags. It's becoming less and less here because they're really putting quite heavy levies on bags now as well. So it's like 25p or something. I think it's even somewhere, I can't remember where. Is it like New Zealand or something where you can't even buy a plastic? I'm sure there's somewhere, I think it might be New Zealand, Ingrid, where you can't even buy one, like, you know, at all. So they've like out, but they've got rid of plastic bags completely, which is great. But they build and build and build and build, and we have too many. So we really need to take a real, you know, it's no point in having 25 plastic bags because you're never going to be able to fit 25 bags of stuff, even in your car. Do you know what I mean? So we need to be sensible about how many, and we need to let these things go. Fantastic for donations to charity shop. Start to make a conscious effort to let go of these bags. And we need that throughput of bags from the outside in. We need them to be in a place where we can grab the bags as we're leaving to go shopping. If we have a car and we shop typically in the car, we need to bring the bags in, unpack the shopping, straight back out in the car so they're in the right place for you for next time. We need to do a bag overhaul, I think, don't we? So important, because we're overrun with the things.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I have come to the number 10 of this list, Leslie. This is an interesting one. Oh, I feel we might go on our soapbox on this one, Leslie. It is the stair basket at the bottom of the stairs. So, of course, this is where you are in your hallway, and there are actually stairs to go up to the first or second floor. And there's a little basket there where you can kind of collect things that have to go upstairs, where you can put them in your stair basket.
Yeah, so I mean, for me, it's like one of the best things ever. So mine's not a stair basket. Mine's a kind of square basket, and it sits somewhere different to my stairs. The stair baskets are not ideal because you can't fit that much stuff in them. But that's, you know, if a stair basket works for you, then that's absolutely great. But the point that we're trying to make is not don't have a stair basket. The point is that you can't just keep randomly throwing stuff in the stair basket and never putting it away.
Yeah.
And so the stair basket needs to be reset on a regular basis. I mean, I've spoken about this before on the podcast. So I would, things that get misplaced around the house that belong elsewhere, you know, for me, my stair basket now is mostly shoes, the handbags that I was talking about, I'd chuck those in there. If I found a random lipstick or something like that that needed to go upstairs, if there was something that belonged in one of my kids' bedrooms that's found its way downstairs, rather than going up a couple of flights of stairs to put it away there and then, because who's got time for that? I'll put it in the basket and then make a conscious decision, conscious effort then to do that, to do the basket. And the kids would do the basket every day. When three kids at home, when they were little, we would be doing that basket every single day because there's a big movement of stuff around the house, right? Yeah. Now I might do it once a week, if that. Sometimes it might only be once every couple of weeks. You know what I mean? Because it's not really that much getting moved around anymore. So you really got to think about that, but you can't just leave it in there. You know what I mean? You've got to empty it every now and again. And our suggestion would be that gets emptied if you've got little kids, or there's a lot of throughput in your property every day, if not perhaps once a week. So pay attention to those catch-all baskets, which are brilliant, but are not brilliant if you never empty them.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have a stair basket. I don't have enough space in my hallway. I've got quite a tiny hallway. So I've always had to, I can put some stuff on the stairs, but I have made the conscious decision that every time I walk up, when there's something on the stairs to be taken up and it gets put away in the right room at that moment, because I don't want to have a stair basket because I don't like them personally. And for me, it's a space issue as well. But indeed, I've seen homes with clients when there's one or sometimes more stair baskets, and then there's like a pile on top of the stair basket because the stair basket was too small to put all the stuff in. And if nobody then takes action on actually picking things up and putting them away, that's when you get the problems. And they're clutter magnets. As soon as it's like the like exactly what you said, the little trays of things that you people put on their hallway to put their keys in, before you know it, there is just paper clips and coins and buttons from shirts that have accidentally fallen off and all these things. And that's when it becomes more and more and more on top of it. And that's when it you get little piles of clutter everywhere that grow into big piles. And that's what we want to avoid.
Yeah, and I thought, like you're absolutely right, Ingrid. If you've not got a stair basket, if you look at your stairs and you can see stuff on the first four steps that needs to go upstairs that's been there for over a week, then that needs to be taken action on as well, because that's not, it's impacting safety and everything as well. So really something that needs to be looked at. So quite a nice little list today, Ingrid. How many have you got out of the 6 to 10?
I think I have one,
Oh.
the screen wash. I think I remember seeing that in my in the corner of my eye. I think I recently did a tidy and thought, why is the screen wash in my hallway? Because I think it's probably because my husband refilled it and left it there, but everything else, no. But the screen wash, I'm gonna come clean about.
Okay, fair enough. But that's because you've not got access to your garage from the front of your house, right? You've got to go to
Correct.
the house. So I get that, right?
Yeah.
I have got none.
We're doing good there, Leslie. So
I
in some tenting podcasts, we're like, yeah, we've got six of these as well.
know. We come up with things, yeah. Do as we say, not as we do, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, nice little list today. Thank you so much for enlightening me. I've learned all about your glove wearing today. I've learned about your little Achilles heel, which is your screen wash. And yeah.
No, it's been good. It's been good. And you know what we love as well is when people and our listeners get back to us and go, here's the list, and this is what I have, and this is what I don't have. So, listeners, let us know. Make sure to hit that follow or subscribe button wherever you're listening in your player or on YouTube, and tell us in the comments because we read all of your comments and you need to tell us. Come clean and tell us which things you've got in your hallway. We can't wait to hear from you. So thank you so much for being here. And we're going to see you next week.
Thanks so much for listening to the Declutter Hub podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us in your podcast player so you don't miss an episode, and we'll see you next week.